Your home for sports on the radio. We are 95.3 The Score.
I hope you're ready. It's that time. Climb aboard, all aboard, for the radio ride known as Sports Talk.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I can't take it anymore.
I am losing my mind.
Brought to you by Guarantee RV.
I know that, dude.
On Highway 99 in Junction City. Online at GuaranteeRV.com.
Alex is sitting there saying, what the heck are they talking about?
I would have Mariota out at 3 in the morning drunk, pawning his Heisman Trophy to get into an illegal poker house.
And now, a guy with lots of issues.
Yeah, I kind of do have issues.
No, I mean, like, lots of issues.
Shut up and get on with the program. Dude is a snot.
And broadcasting them, searching for answers.
Who is this?
It's Steve Tannen.
Have another donut, you fat pig. Yo! Welcome to the 5 o'clock hour of Sports Talk on a Tuesday. Always the joy of having Monday off is once you make it through a Tuesday, it's like, all right, I'll take it. We're good. Good to have you along. It's been an interesting day in sports. Some disturbing stuff. We now know that the class of 2020, in Cooperstown, is going to be two guys. You got two guys. You got Derek Jeter, who got 396 out of 397 votes. You got Larry Walker, the former Expo, Rocky, and I guess he played for the Cardinals for a little bit at the end of his career. Who I think he made it in by 6 votes. I don't really have a problem with Larry Walker being a Hall of Famer. I mean, he raked. He was a really good player. But like I said, when it comes to Bonds and Clemens and guys like Walker, if Bud Selig's in, and Tony La Russa is in, these are guys who benefited the most from non-players. The manager who benefited the most and the commissioner who benefited the most. He got to revive baseball after the 94 strike shut down half of August, all of September, and the October tournament to crown a World Series champ. La Russa had the original Bash Brothers, McGuire in St. Louis. And, of course, somebody's going to ask you, well, who's a better player, Larry Walker or Harold Baines? I mean, it's not even a question. It should take you about however fast you could say Larry Walker's name, you should say it. I mean, he had a run in the mid-90s. 2000s. I mean, this is a guy who hit 322, 366, 363, 379, 350, 338. I mean, those are big numbers. And dude was a power hitter. And he only struck out 100 times. I mean, now I'm sure he'd have struck out 170 times because that's like recommended. But his on-base percentage was Bonds-like kind of before Bonds. You know, 450, 445, 460, 450. His career on base percentage, 400. His career batting average, 313. He didn't have a lot of hits because, well, you know, you look at his career and he missed chunks of seasons. You know, missed 30 games with Montreal, 25 games, 24 games. In 96, he got hurt, missed half the year, then missed 30 games, 35 games. In 2000, you know, in his prime, he missed 75 games. But 1,300 RBI, good number, 383 homers, that's okay. But, you know, he peaked, he won a doubles title. By the way, in the strike season, like I mentioned, when they missed half of August and all of September, he hit 44 doubles. good outfielder, had a cannon. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 gold gloves. He won an MVP in 97. Bunch of silver sluggers. Multiple-time All-Star. Led the league in total bases. Slugging percentage a couple times. OPS. 3 batting crowns. And like I said, he's better than Harold Baines. So no problem there. There's kind of a philosophy making the rounds. And by the way, 5 o'clock hour, Sports Talk, welcome. We'll get to Coach Graves in a couple minutes. Great article, by the way, on the Wall Street Journal site. For those of you who've been around a while, former Oregonian writer Rachel Bachman, it's about Sabrina Ionescu. And I guess you could subtitle it kind of what a commodity she is. The hottest player in college basketball is named Sabrina is the title, about driving attendance, selling jerseys, drawing raves from great NBA players, and of course the fact that she is entering a different WNBA. And if, in fact, she is the top pick, she will be playing in the Big Apple for the New York Liberty, who will be moving from some smaller, lesser arena out in a place called White Plains, which is Westchester County, just north of the city. If you follow golf for a long, long time, they used to have the Westchester Classic out there. It's been renamed now. It's got some massive corporate sponsorship. It's actually where It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart in that county, Westchester County. Bedford Falls and White Plains and Scarsdale and Yonkers. But they're moving into where the Nets play in Brooklyn at the Barclays Center, and salaries are going up, and they've got the new collective bargaining agreement. So great piece. I posted it on my Twitter account at SportsTalk953, and Rachel is just a fantastic sports journalist, so check it out. I know you get a kick out of it. We'll get to that. We'll get to the fact that the Super Bowl is set. It all comes down. What will happen next? Yeah, it all comes down to this. We've got Chiefs, Niners. Chiefs, who, of course, ran the risk of playing wild card weekend, got the Dolphins upsetting New England. They ended up in. Baltimore gets run. They host the AFC title game, and they're in. So let's lock up the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline, talk some hoops. His number 4 Ducks, off the convincing home sweep of the NoCal schools, face a big home-and-home with OSU. There's a 3-way tie atop the conference. Follow on Twitter. Use the handle at GoDucksKG. Welcome in, Kelly Graves. Coach, how's it going?
Steve, doing pretty good, buddy. Just working on the beeves here.
You know, a couple of general things. You know, we get used to players and coaches who, they play the all things are equal and, you know, each game is the same. We prepare. But I got to tell you, I was impressed by Sabrina after Stanford. She doesn't mince words. She goes, Stanford is different. Beating them has a little extra value. How does that kind of play with, you know, her coaches and teammates, her willingness to not only put it out there, but, of course, you know, she also backs it up like few others?
Yeah, she sure does, and she sure did that night. You know, listen, we're human beings, and I think everybody's lying if they sit here and say that, you know, every game means the same. I think we all understand that a loss or a win is absolutely equal in the standings. It doesn't matter to whom, but there are some opponents that just bring out the best in some teams. And Stanford, even though they have not won the last 5 regular season championships, is still the standard by which, you know, teams on the West Coast are judged. And so anytime you play a team like Stanford, or now this week Oregon State, you know, there's just a little bit extra that goes into it. Now, you know, you have to guard against, you know, getting up for some opponents and not as up as much for others. You know, then you start to ride the roller coaster ride, and we try to prepare exactly the same, regardless of who the opponent is. But come on, they're humans, and they're certainly going to get up, you know, a little bit more for some teams.
You know, again on the game this past Thursday, which, you know, that's a day that's usually reserved for the men or the NBA or football during, you know, October and November. ESPN's A team was there: Rebecca Lobo, Holly Rowe, packed house. Did you all talk about kind of what a unique circumstance that was? I would call it one of those eyes of the sports world moments.
No question about it. We talked about it before. You know, what a great opportunity we had as a team to be in the national spotlight in a top five matchup, with a packed house. I mean, when we talked to the team, this is why you guys came to Oregon, to be in these kind of games. And, I think they thrived, obviously, that night, played really, really well. And showed to the rest of the country that we're still pretty good.
Seems like an understatement now.
people are prisoners of the moment.
And, yeah, yeah.
You know, we dropped a few spots because duly so. You know, we should have. We haven't played all that particularly well consistently, and so on that night, at least for 40 minutes, we were really good.
You know, I was talking with Bev on Sunday about your defense. Beyond stats, technique, when I watch your team, it's just incredibly rare, if ever. They get crossed over. You know, from the time we were in middle school, we were taught, defend with your feet. How much a part of your teaching is focused there? And from the coach's lens, how well does your team pull that off?
You know, we're okay. We have some good defenders. We have some that aren't so good. You know, we have some with really good feet and others that don't. You know, Mignon Moore doesn't get crossed over very often. She's got great feet. And we have others that, still struggle a little bit. But, we try to use our length and other things, whatever we can. You know, it's hard to be really good at everything. but the one thing I've been impressed with is our defense. I think we've played really well. We're in the top 30 and scoring defense and field goal percentage defense. And my goodness, Steve, we haven't been in the top 100 since I've been here. Yeah, because, and our focus is always on offense. But I've had a couple coaches tell me they think the difference with us this year is we're just better defensively. And we're not ever going to be an in-your-face defense. We're not going to get 100 steals. We need to play position defense, keep them to one shot, and move on. But we're changing defenses up. We're disguising coverages. We're doing a lot of the things that you might see in the NFL, so to speak. And it's working for us. Some people might say we're putting lipstick on a pig, by just kind of mixing things up. You're hiding some of our deficiencies. But you know what? You got to do what you got to do.
Well,
I built for offense, but we're playing the other end fairly well.
Now, I think there's a noticeable difference from last year as we continue with Coach Graves. Historically, come tournament time, I've got a general thought about some news that came down today. One of the frustrations for fans was finding all the games. And today, ESPN says every single game is going to be on their family of networks nationally. I mean, as somebody who works so hard, a lot of people do, to grow this game, how big is that news?
Huge. When I heard that today, I was like, yes, that's the way it should be. We spend a lot of money on our tournament, and they want to champion, and do. ESPN really does champion women's basketball in college, but I always thought fell short come tournament time. And, we'd see men's NIT games on during prime time on a Thursday or Friday night. And I think this, they're not just doing it to be generous or anything like that. They're backing it up with numbers. They wouldn't do this unless there's a, there's going to be viewership, and so I applaud their commitment, and I think it's going to enhance the tournament even more and even bring more viewers into the NCAA.
That was awesome news. In tracking your unicorn Satu Sabali, always adding, first going back a year or so ago, the ability to drive with each hand, finish at the bucket. She just has a million ways to hurt you with her skill set. Is it me, or does it seem like now she's becoming more of a physical force banging inside with the bigs?
Yeah, she's added a little post up, and we're looking to post her up a little bit more, isolate her down there. She's great on the offensive glass, Steve. I wish she would make more of a commitment, a consistent commitment, to crashing the offensive boards, because she can be a real terror there. I think you're right. You're seeing that she's starting to figure out that she can do a lot more things and impact the game in a lot more ways. And I talked to her about this. We just got to get her to consistently go hard. And when she does, my goodness sakes, that kid's immensely talented. And she's starting to do it, and she's doing it in the big moments, which I love. But, yeah, she's such a great young woman and a great teammate. So I'm really happy that she's seeing some real success right now.
You know, one of the joys of following the games closely is you don't always have to lean on the stats. I mean, in that Stanford game, you look at Mignon Moore. The numbers were nice. 10 points, 3 assists, rebounds, steals. In the Cal game, you know, 11 points, 6 assists. But the way she's disruptive on defense, her speed, I mean, safe to say she's one of those players who kind of transcends the stat sheet occasionally.
She does. Stats don't always tell, you know, the whole story, and you nailed it with her. She has set the tone defensively, and you talked about her improvement in that area, and a large part of it is her. Our steals are up. Our first forced turnovers are up 4 or 5 in conference play. I think she's just finding a way to make a difference, and she's realized that that's on the defensive end. She's doing a good job of slowing the other team's point guard in transition, a little thing maybe not noticed by very many people, but it is by me. And just by disrupting them just a little bit more, a few more seconds taken for them to bring the ball up the floor, that's a little less time they have to execute their half-court offense. So all those little things make a difference. And how cool was it to see her knock down a couple of threes in the Cal game? You know, that was awesome to see and big.
A couple of final thoughts for Coach Kelly Graves. Since she joined the team from Notre Dame, you and I have talked about what it means when Erin Boley is hitting. In the 3 games before Cal, though, she had, I think, just 1 basket in each game. Then, of course, she found her stroke on Sunday. But so after struggling a bit, I mean, how nice was it to kind of have her back on track?
Oh, it was huge. And we made it a point to try and get her some looks in that game, and she knocked them down, and hopefully has that confidence to continue. And I mean, you and I have talked about it before. We're better when Erin Boley's a factor. And so it was good to see. We hope that she can continue that, and I'm sure she will. You know, when you're a shooter, man, you just need to see that ball go in the hoop a few times, and then you feel it again, you know, and hopefully that's a start of a really nice run for her.
Yeah, 6 of 8 from 3-point land. That's a pretty high bar, Coach.
That's a pretty high bar. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say if she can do that every night for us, we'll be really hard to beat.
Yeah. And lastly, Oregon State, of course, they won their first 14, dropped 2 of 3. Tight game against Stanford Sunday. They've already got 2 conference losses. We know how well coached they are. And, you know, the bottom line is they have a rough weekend. They could fall dangerously far behind. What kind of challenges do you anticipate getting from these Beavs?
Well, the same we get from them every year. It's a dogfight, you know, the entire time. And you're right. They see the standings, and they know that they gotta get at least a win, if not 2, this weekend to kind of keep pace with everybody. So yeah, we're gonna get their absolute best. They're a good team. You talked about being well coached. Of course they are. They've got great shooters. They got 2 really good freshmen inside, and 2 elite playmakers in Michaela Pivick and Destiny Slocum. So out on the perimeter. So they're gonna be real good. They're gonna defend. They're not gonna give you anything easy. They're not gonna beat themselves. It's a typical Beaver team. That's who they are and what they do. And what a great weekend though, buddy. I mean, we're gonna have 12,400 or whatever ours holds sold out on Friday, and it's going to be sold up out on Gill on Sunday. They're going to have over 21,000 fans watching women's basketball in the state of Oregon this week, and that's pretty cool and well deserved the notoriety and attention these two teams are getting.
No,
it's going to be electric there Friday.
No, I know. Obviously, everybody is looking forward to it, and then there's going to be the trip up there, and it doesn't get much more fun than this for fans and those of us fortunate enough to get paid to cover it.
Yeah, I was going to say for you guys, it's not all that much fun for me, but Steve, it's. Yeah, it's a little nerve-wracking, no question about it.
No, but it's great. It's awesome. Can't wait. Looking forward to it. Folks, he's Kelly Graves. He's the head coach of the number 4 team in the country. They got the Beavs home and home this weekend. On Twitter, hey, the handle is at GoDucks, KG. Coach.
Steve.
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I know you got to run here, but come on, man. I'm a baseball fan. I'm not really a Yankee fan, but who's the knucklehead that doesn't vote for Derek Jeter?
You know,
I mean, come on.
It's,
you know, that's take your vote away. If you're a Red Sox guy, take their vote away.
Well, it's somebody who apparently is looking for their 15 minutes of fame, but I was like, that's not fame, that's infamy. That guy is never going to live this down, so I hope it was
never.
Worth it.
And you know, I'm not a Yankee guy.
Right.
But even I see that. I mean, he's an icon, and maybe the best player in the last 20 years that we've seen. So, I mean, come on. But I'm happy that he got in. I'm happy for Larry Walker too.
Yeah, the thing with Walker was I really didn't anticipate he'd be close, but once he got in, you know, you start running the numbers and you realize what an elite hitter and a 5-time Gold Glove defender he was. So, you know, good for those guys, and obviously being a diehard New Yorker, I'm really stoked about Jeets.
Yeah, no, that's pretty cool.
All right, hey, best of luck
okay,
in both
buddy.
Games.
Talk to you later, Steve.
You got it, Coach. Take it easy. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Coach is ticked off. He wants them. We're officially adding up all the people who are gunning for the knucklehead who did not vote for Derek Jeter, number 2. Yeah, the matchups between I'm sorry, what'd you have?
Well, somebody brought up that I didn't even have the mic on there. Somebody brought up that former players that are in the Hall of Fame also get a vote. And if Mariano Rivera was the first guy to get in with
100%, could you imagine if that turned out?
There's a non-zero chance he might be the one who's like, Derek Jeter, my teammate, came up through the minors together. We won all the same World Series together. I got in first because I retired a year early. He was trying to compile his way to 3,000 hits. Derek, you
the
know
compiler.
What? I don't think you're a Hall of Famer. I don't think you are. And then when you get your ballot, you can vote on if you want it publicly released like 15 days after the vote or whatever the BBWAA has on their thing. He can just check, no, I don't want my ballot released, and you'll never find out. Because who's actually going to think that Mariano Rivera was the guy who didn't vote for Jeter?
And just the smile on his face when he's like, still the only one, I'm leaving for Panama.
I mean, are you telling me that thought didn't cross his mind? He gets in as the first guy that 100% of these grumpy old people agreed he's a Hall of Famer. But three people said Ken Griffey wasn't a Hall of Famer, and they're like, Mariano Rivera, that's you. You're that guy. You wore 42. You wore it with respect and honor, just like Jackie Robinson did. A tremendous guy on and off the field. You were phenomenal. You had the best cutter in the history of baseball. I'm voting for you. And Mariano Rivera's like, I'm not voting for Jeter. Are you kidding me?
It's Pass. Enough. It's enough Pass. With Jeter already. I was his teammate for 17 years, and it was a Jeter this and Jeter that and Jeter this. I ain't voting for him. Sayonara. All right. Break time has arrived. We're back with an update and more sports talk. 95.3 The Score.
95.3 The Score is your home for live sports talk all day, every day. Download the TuneIn app and take 95.3 The Score with you wherever you go.
Second down and 9. Here he is again. Mostert touchdown, his third. Here's Samuel, full head of steam. Cuts. inside the 30, inside the 25. Garoppolo's still only thrown six passes. Mostert, left side. Another first down carry and more. How about a touchdown?
You. Welcome back to Sports Talk here in the 5 o'clock hour. Appreciate the time, Coach Graves. Big weekend home-and-home series with Oregon State, who, after waxing Cal, got beat in a tight one, couldn't convert down the stretch by Stanford. And so, OSU knows that if they're to remain in the hunt for the conference regular season title, they've got to at least get a split this weekend because of the way the standings have shaken out so far. All right, welcome back. Sports Talk 95.3, The Score, if you want in, 284-8571. You could also hit us up on the text line, 321-0824. Yeah, by the way, this whole that, you know, Ken Griffey Jr. didn't get in unanimously or whoever, it's like everybody mentions the same thing. Just because voters were knuckleheads in the past doesn't mean they should be stupid in the present. I mean, you got the case. You have your first one in Rivera. One vote. By the way, Griffey, three voters said, nah. Self-important chuckleheads. All right, let's get to the Oregon fuel injection hotline and bring in Travis. Travis, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, pretty good, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to touch in on the Hall of Fame thing and with recent events with cheating in baseball, and it's kind of interesting to think of how cheating has been perceived over the years when you look at the Hall of Fame. And I just kind of wanted your opinion on that when you think about like the Chicago Black Sox, a guy like Gaylord Perry, known cheater, caught multiple times, and then the interpretation of someone like Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens, who both of them never failed a drug test but still are like might have no chance of getting in the Hall of Fame. And then with the Astros, too, and some of their players on that team that arguably Carlos Beltran, maybe Jose Altuve one day, how that might affect their Hall of Fame chances. All these different types of cheating and how they're kind of interpreted differently, I find very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot to absorb there. And obviously, at this point, players who substantially benefited, and for those who look at the way Bonds basically changed how he looked, size of his head, fact he went from a five-tool player from primarily a power hitter, Clemens, whose career seemed in decline, and all of a sudden he's got a 2-1 ERA with Houston and he's throwing peas with the Yankees. And I think with what happened with Houston and then Cora losing his job and the fact that there was a light shining again on cheating certainly didn't help Bonds or Clemens. And at this point right now, I don't think they're ever going to get voted in. I thought they were going to. As for Gaylord Perry, I don't know, that's really strange because over the years, whether it's the spitball or what they used to call the shine ball or emery boards being used, it's amazing how a guy like Perry gets a Pasadena on that and got elected into the Hall of Fame. I don't know, did people back in those days view it as more being a veteran with guile more than a cheater? I don't know. I think that there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. So I'm just right now, I find myself disappointed with a lot of the process. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Josh. Josh, good afternoon. How's it going?
Hey, Steve, there is a lot of hypocrisy going on. You hit the nail on the head. I mean, with this whole Houston Astros thing and then it boiling over into the Red Sox thing, I mean, yeah, the league has done, you know, they've laid the hammer down. But if you're not going to strip both those teams of their World Series titles, and yet you're going to hold Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens to the standard that we're not, you know, we're not going to acknowledge. Why can you put an asterisk next to one and not to another? I mean, at this point, Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens need to be in the Hall of Fame with an asterisk that says this was the steroid era, because both those guys are two of the greatest athletes that I've ever seen in my lifetime, and they were competing against other people that were all on steroids, and they deserve to be in.
Well, the bottom line is they need to just address the steroid era. Asterisks never really work. They just need to have a special section and acknowledge that from X year to X year and when they implemented testing, and that, you know, this one failed a test and this one was part of the Balco scandal and this one testified on Capitol Hill, and just acknowledge it. But it's a joke that Selig is in and Tony La Russa is in and Mike Piazza is in and Clemens and Bonds aren't, if you ask me.
Well, also, any of us who are old enough to remember, you know, Bonds playing for the Pirates in early days before all this stuff, I mean, just given that resume, if he had continued that resume, we'd be talking about him as a unanimous Hall of Famer, like Jeter or Mariano Rivera. I mean, this, you know, for the lack of a better term, this large balloon or cloud that's hanging over his head is, you know, it's just dumb. It's these Baseball Writers of America are an old, good old boys club that are so deep rooted into whatever they are that they just don't want to give anywhere. Either way, and, you know, at some point, you know, they're 8 years in, they only have two more years of eligibility. It would be a shame for these two guys to not get in.
Well, right now, I am not optimistic, but I appreciate the call, Josh. Didn't even mention Lillard's 61-point game. I guess we'll have to get back to that at another time. 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. You know, it almost seemed like it was trending in the right direction. And then this whole hullabaloo started about the Astros and sign stealing and banging on garbage cans. And I wouldn't be surprised if there were some voters who were like, you know what? I forgot. Time, you know, softened my stance, but they're cheating scumbags, and I don't want to vote for any of them. Right, wrong, or indifferent. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline.
The Baseball Writers Association of America just released the list of the 397 members of the BBWAA. It's one of them. I don't know who it is, but it's
get
one
on
of
that.
Them. Man. But I got to find out. Apparently, we have to wait 2 weeks until the ballots that people, if they mark, they wanted them to be publicly released or not. So we may have to wait 2 weeks. We may have to wait until this writer realizes, oh, my book is due to come out. I'll come forward as the man who didn't do it. Or maybe he double cowered down and didn't vote to make his ballot public and then just did it just to see what would happen. It's one of the three. Or it's Mariano Rivera. I don't know.
Is there a chance that we never find out who the lone holdout was? Somebody asked on our text line, 3210824, if Clemens and Bonds just came out and admitted, like A-Rod and McGuire, that they used, would that aid their cause or cement their place as never getting in?
We don't even know how people are going to look at A-Rod when he hits the ballot, because that hasn't even happened yet. Because his whole image...
Next year?
I think so. Next year, the year after, right, or something like that. But yeah, I think there's the possibility that, like, A-Rod, Clemens, and Bonds are all on the same ballot together, and the voters that have been making a stance for 8 years now, saying that, we're going to wait to maybe vote to put you in, but we're probably never going to find enough people to actually rally around. And then you're going to have to do this with A-Rod, who has missed an entire season because of steroids. Like, a year of his career was stripped away because he tested positive for steroids. And all he did was admit it and then sounded good on TV, and people want to forgive him? And people are going to put him into the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, let's not get crazy and act like he's going in because people like watching him on TV.
That's image is all a part of it, though. Like, if he sits there long enough on TV and continues to be a good broadcaster and insightful and occasionally funny and just knows how the game works, and he keeps talking about the game as he's sitting there gaining, 50, 75, 100 votes or whatever per season, like as the old guys finally lose their voting cards and new people come in who say it's about damn time these steroid people got in because they weren't the only ones cheating, like that might happen. Another part of the reason people don't like Bonds is because of his off-field stuff where he was just kind of a D-bag.
Oh, yeah, he was a huge bag of sauce. All right, 284-8571, the Oregon Fuel Injection Hotline. Let's bring in Rob. Rob, good evening. How's it going?
Doing all right. Thanks, Steve. When you mentioned Rivera, man, I just got a shiver thinking about them blasting Enter Sandman. He'd come out of the pen for the ninth to just destroy whoever he was going to face. My Mariners too many times to count. The thing that really upsets me about Bonds, kind of playing on what Josh said before about Bonds and A-Rod, they were shoo-ins for the Hall of Fame without cheating. I mean, you want to talk about two just naturally gifted, talents. I don't know.
No, I see what you mean. If Barry Bonds would have torn up his knee, say, in 1997, before supposedly he started the Balco juicing program, people would have looked at his 11 years and three MVPs and six gold gloves and all his all-stars and been like, his career was cut short by a knee injury. He'd be in the Hall of Fame already. He'd be in the Hall of Fame for the last 15 years.
Yeah, they'd say, right this way, sir. Here's your spot.
No, I don't doubt that for a second.
So that's why I don't feel bad for him at all, and I hope he doesn't get in. It is a really good question, though. If you just admit it, is that better or worse? And you're a cheater. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I agree, and I would bet that it doesn't help. If they're already voting you out because of suspicions and then you confirm them, that doesn't make you innocent.
Yeah. I mean, I admit to beating my wife. Oh, well, that's good. He admits it at least. No, you're still a worthless piece of,
We gotcha. We're on the same page there, Rob.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Take it easy. Yeah, if you remember one of the end scenes in the first Godfather, when Carlo, Michael Corleone's brother-in-law, is accused by Michael of setting up Sonny Corleone to get whacked at the toll booth. He goes, come on, admit, who was it that contacted you? Do you really think you could outsmart a Corleone? And Michael goes, I'm not going to make my sister a widow. You think I would do that? Your punishment is you're out of the family business. Now, admit what happened, and here's a plane ticket. You're just flying you out of Vegas. He admits it to Michael, gets in the car, and Clemenza strangles him to death. It's like, you just admitted to me you had my brother killed. Michael Corleone, did you really think that was going to help you, moron? All right, spoiler alert for 1972.
I haven't seen the movie. It just ruined it for me.
Oh, there was a great scene in one of the sitcoms I was watching on Netflix where this couple is getting together and they're professing their love, and they're basically getting down to, is there any skeleton in your closet that we should know about? And she goes, I've never seen The Godfather. He goes, I never want to see you again. All right, break time, back, tweet of the day, home stretch, sports talk, Tuesday, 95.3 The Score.
And now, it's the Coors Light refreshing tweet of the day.
They are trending, twittering, tweeting, you name it.
On Sports Talk with Steve Tannen.
LOL, laugh out loud, OMG, oh my God, WTF, why the face?
Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, Doc Nick.
Hi, host Steve. Nick Rogers here at the Coors Light Frostbrewed Sports Desk for the Coors Light Refreshing Tweet of the Day. Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment that is made to chill. A fantastic tweet from this weekend, from Sunday. So it nearly, if we had done the show on Monday, I might have made it the Tweet of the Day on Monday, but I certainly can't do it 2 days later. It's from at UMBC Athletics, who tweeted Sunday night, "Reminder everyone, campus is closed tomorrow, so no need to show up. So do your best Packers impression."
Wow.
Absolutely loved that. Absolutely loved that. Just incredible. From at Cespedes Barbecue, they were looking up the Wikipedia of Larry Walker and found that Larry's parents are Mary and Larry, and his brothers are Barry, Gary, and Gary.
Stop.
Barry, Carrie, and Gary. That's incredible.
That alone should keep him out.
Also something incredible from Arash Markazi, at Arash Markazi on Twitter. The 2020 draft stage has been unveiled, mocked up, drawn together. It's in Vegas this year. They're doing very Vegas things. Players will be sent by boat to the center of the stage, which is in the Bellagio fountain pool in Vegas. I don't know how big this pool is. I don't know how deep it is. It's obviously deep enough that it can support all of this weight from a gigantic structure that's going to be put into it, and also allow boats to be traveling back and forth with future NFL players on it. And I absolutely want someone to cannonball into this pool. You get picked, you get the selection, you take a picture, you celebrate, you have a tearaway suit, underneath you got your swim trunks on, and you just cannonball into the pool at the Bellagio. I think it would be perfect.
I'm in.
I think it'd be perfect. But our tweet of the day is from at Rockies. That's for the Colorado Rockies. Larry Walker, the Colorado Rocky, gets into the Hall of Fame. He's kind of like Mr. Rocky, and he is wearing a shirt that looks like a NASCAR driver's thing. It's a SpongeBob SquarePants shirt, and it says, ain't no ordinary sponge. And Larry Walker's like, what, 45, 46 years old, something like that? Rocking the SpongeBob shirt is incredible. Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame shirt with the goat emoji. That's the tweet from the Rockies. That's the tweet of the day. That shirt is incredible. Put him in the Hall of Fame a second time. I hope more people saw that shirt and said, damn, I should have voted for Larry Walker.
What were we waiting for?
How did we not know that Larry Walker loves SpongeBob? This is, it's fantastic. So thanks to at Rockies for the refreshing tweet of the day. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at 953thescore. I'm on Twitter at Rick Nodgers, and Steve is on Twitter at SportsTalk953. Do not be a jerk. Just do it.
Just do it.
Yay.
So we got our January baseball talk out of the way with the announcement that the Hall of Fame ballots are in. Counted, and it's Derek Jeter and Larry Walker. That's it. Some disturbing news from the world of sports today involving Delonte West and Antonio Brown. West, wasn't more than a couple years ago where Antonio Brown was kind of a national spokesman for the NFL, doing dances, pitching products, scoring a bunch of touchdowns. Steelers were in the playoffs. And then this dark side was revealed. And we really don't know what is up with him. And, he's facing multiple serious allegations about regarding sexual assault, but until this goes into a court of law, he's got to get help. What just happened today, it says Antonio Brown and a trainer allegedly beat up a driver, and it's in Hollywood again. So there was a moving truck outside his residence. He's not in custody, no arrest yet. One of the trainers, Glenn Holt, charged with felony burglary and battery. He was booked into the clink tonight. Brown hired the moving truck to bring some belongings to his home, and they were at his place, and they said that there was a situation that was de-escalated to avoid another victim, and it's just there's a problem with this guy. And before he or somebody gets killed, he needs to undergo some serious assistance. Delonte West, who played at St. Joe's, part of a really good team that made the Elite Eight with Jameer Nelson in 04. But if you remember, he got pulled over by the cops a little over 10 years ago, was driving one of those kind of three-wheel motorcycles. And he was packing some serious heat. A 9mm in his waistband, a Magnum strapped to his leg, and he's had a big guitar case on his back with a shotgun in. I mean, then there's this video of him getting the crap beat out of him just outside of D.C. on a public road today, and witnesses say he started by hitting a guy with a wine bottle. Both guys refuse medical attention or to press charges. It's disturbing. So starting tomorrow, we'll get a little bit more into this, what promises, I would assume, is going to be a great Super Bowl now a week from Sunday. Buster Olney, by the way, the Hall of Fame is being respectful, not making a ballot reveal mandatory, but it's anti-ethical for a journalist to hide their vote. Transparency and accountability should be part of the process. And the reason you're going to hear that is one person decided not to vote for Derek Jeter, and apparently that's a capital crime in our world. Have a good night. We'll catch up with you on tomorrow for Wednesday. Crunch Time and Sports Talk, 95.3 The Score.